Hey, Riri.
Hey, Sandy.
Oh, you got to do the song, baby. You got to do the song.
Me. Welcome. Welcome back. The girl, she did that. Welcome back.
Yes. Welcome back to Girl, She Did That, episode number 4.
Almost forgot.
Season 2. Me too. So how you feeling today?
I'm feeling, let me go to my Rolodex of feelings. Feeling work. I am feeling content.
Okay, I like that.
How you feeling?
I am feeling optimistic.
Okay, why you feel optimistic?
Oh, did y'all see that? The mic there.
Optimism.
Just exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's like what's the man's name? Donnie McClurkin. Get back up again. You know what I'm saying?
Get back up again. You know what I'm saying?
Fall down, you gotta get back up. You know what I'm saying?
Back up again. For a saint, it's just a sinner. Who fell down?
Yes. Come on, somebody.
Start this microphone.
I'm feeling optimistic. I feel like I'm in a much better space today than I was last week. So, I feel optimistic. Things are going to be okay.
Good. See the light.
Yeah, lights. What you drinking today?
So, today I'm drinking a little bit of Chardonnay.
Oh, we got Chardonnay and not Cabernet, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I see what your wine tasting.
Just a little swoop.
I see it.
What about you? What are you drinking?
I have Roscato.
What you reaching up to the sky for? Oh, okay.
I had to reach to heaven to get it, to pull it on down. There we go.
I had to get the glass from the Jesus turn.
Put it into wine. So here we go.
Roscato.
So that's what I got today. So.
Okay. And who are we honoring today?
Today, I think our episode should go to every Black woman in America.
I love that.
I feel like last week, every Black woman felt the exact same way last Wednesday morning when they woke up. Some of us had to go to work still. Some of us called in. Some of us took a mental health day. Because we felt like the country has yet again put us in a place where we are just not enough. And Madam Vice President, if you hear this, we are proud of you. We salute you. We thank you for fighting the good fight and encouraging people to still continue to fight regardless of who the president may be. So this episode for me goes to all the Black women in America, and all the women who have supported Black women, all the allies that that I think about, especially in my life, that's been extremely supportive and allowed a safe space for me to process.
Beautifully said. I really don't have anything to add.
You should say something to the Black ladies. Say something to them. They need you. Say it.
No, I think you said it all. I don't think you left any room for me.
There's always space for you.
No, not in that one. That was perfect.
All right. Shout out to all the Black ladies in the world.
Shout out to all the Black women in the world. Speaking of some love.
Ooh, love. We talking about love today?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, we got it. Okay, we got it. Okay. Love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when's the first time you ever heard about, like, love languages?
So I think the first time that I heard love languages was probably in grad school.
Okay.
I can't recall, like, oh yeah, it was like on this day, da da da. But I just remember I was around that time frame, around that age. And I was like, what is that? And I forgot if it was in class or what it was, but it was definitely during that time is mm-hmm. when I first heard about love languages. And I think that that's when I had got more of an idea of how I love and then also how I love others, which is also two different ways, which is very interesting. But that's when I found out what love languages were. What about you?
I want to say I was in college and Dr. Karen McKenzie, she was one of my favorite professors in psychology. She had a whole course on relationships, like everything about relationships. Very popular. Like you would be up at midnight trying to get into the class because that's how good the class was. And in that class, she started to talk about Dr. Gary Chapman and how he had this idea of love languages. And from that point on, I think I've been extremely fascinated with love languages. And I even talk about it in my social psych class. I have my students take the test, everything. So I think that's when I first became introduced to it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what are the five love languages? We're just talking about it like everybody know what it is. But I'm sure that some people don't.
I did my little, you know.
Not your handy dandy notebook.
Yes, you know, I'm a whole professor out here. So, you know, I have to have my notes. You know what I'm saying? All right. Put some respect to my name. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
All right. So there are five different types of love languages.
Mm-hmm.
One being words of affirmations. So those are for people who prefer words of affirmation or verbal expressions of appreciation, encouragement, compliments, and kind words. And they mean the most to that person.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is active service. This love language is all about action that shows care. It involves helping or doing things that make life easier for other people or the other person, excuse me, like cooking a meal, doing chores, running errands, any thoughtful actions that show efforts or support.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is receiving gifts. For some, gifts are a tangible representation of love and thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not always about the material value, but the thought and effort behind the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is quality time. So these individuals prioritize quality time and feel most loved when they have someone's full attention. So that's whether they engage in activities, having meaningful conversations, or spending uninterrupted time together. And they feel extremely valued with that. And then the last one is physical touch. So any sort of physical expression, holding hands, hugs, or other forms of affection, affectionate touch, sex, makes people with love languages feel love. I mean, it is a form of physical touch.
Okay.
I mean, this is not, ain't no kids listening to this, so.
You don't know.
Ain't no kidding. Trust me, I hit that button. Not for kids. Not for kids. So those are the five love languages. Out okay. of those, what do you think is yours?
So I'll rank mine. I do believe that us as human beings need all five of them.
Okay.
But I'll rank mine. My number one would be quality time.
Okay.
My second one, I would say, now that you've like refreshed my memory on what physical touch is, I think that might be number two for me.
Okay.
Like not necessarily the sex, but more.
What? Or as my husband called it, Gooing. Now, what? Gooing.
Gooing?
Country
like
shit.
With a G?
Yeah, gooing.
Not the doing, but the no, gooing. Gooing.
If you ain't going, then what you doing? That's what he said.
Did you ever ask him what that means? Like, what did he...
Listen, he has his own language, and I let him relish in that. So, I know what it means. Other people may not know what it means.
I think now everyone does know what it means now.
Now everybody knows.
He's not ready.
He's going to hate me for telling everybody that, but... I don't think he's gonna listen to it, so it's fine. It's fine.
Anywho, but yeah, I mean, I like to hug. I like to touch. I like to hold hands. Like everybody knows that I'm the touchy feely friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would say number two.
Okay.
I think that third is acts of service. Kind of a tie between acts of service and words of affirmation.
Okay.
I struggle. And receiving gifts is definitely last for me. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
What about you?
Well, when we took the husband and I took the quiz, we both were quality time. So that was number one. And then for me, I think it would be, maybe words of affirmation. I think I thrive on that. Acts of service, physical touch would be up there somewhere. And then receiving gifts will probably last too.
Okay.
It's not really that important.
That's very interesting. Okay.
What?
Because I thought that like receiving gifts or maybe more so gift giving would be higher for you.
Well, okay. So I'm glad you brought that up. So I think me receiving as far as like with my partner, those would be, but as far as me in a relationship or a friendship, my number one would be acts of service or like giving gifts or something like meaningful. I think that would be on that side of the house, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you show love to others with the love languages?
I think mine, like I said, I think mine is more of the acts of service, gifts. I mean, not so much gifts. If I buy somebody a gift or something like that, I feel like it's very meaningful. I try to put a lot of meaning into why I'm like either purchasing a gift or making something or like creating an experience or something like that. I feel like it's a lot of, for me, it has to be a lot of meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not just going to like go out and just buy something random for you. Like it's a reason why I'm buying this for you or getting something for you. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think mine is more so words of affirmation.
Okay.
That's what I give to
oh,
others.
Oh, that's what you give?
Yeah, that's what yeah. I give a lot of words of affirmation.
Let me see. 1 second, please. Let's see.
Is that in your notebook? Let me see.
Yeah, I'm checking Brianna's. Let me 1 second.
Oh, yeah. Open my tab.
I think it's right there. Quality time. I think quality time will be up there too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I think that I just have a lot of words of affirmation people around me.
Okay.
That's what they need. So I think that I've just gotten better at it. Like, I'm just like, oh, like, you just want me to compliment you. I can do that.
Nah.
That's fine. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no biggie.
Okay.
Like, I actually do think you're an amazing person. Actually, I just don't. Now I just say it more.
Often. Yeah. Don't say it that often. Like, okay.
Like, yeah, you know. But yeah, I think that's what I give. And I do give quality time as well. Like, I do talk a lot, obviously. Emphasis on the podcast. But yeah, you know. So. You know, words of affirmation, you know, quality time, those things, definitely for sure. I was talking to a friend, actually not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about love languages. And I was telling her, I was like, you know, in my opinion, I feel like the things that you get at the top are the things that you think you need, because that's usually what you receive. So like, it's the thing that you constantly get, maybe naturally due to your personality or to your environment. But I think that the things that are at the bottom, the last two, are probably the things you need more than the first two, because those are the things that go neglected.
Okay.
In my opinion. So I feel like, I think that now having that conversation out loud with her, I think that I want to do more of the bottom two.
Okay.
Than focusing more on the top two.
Okay.
I feel like your environment's kind of either naturally or has been trained to like give you these things.
Well, that leads into my next question is, do you think your love languages shifts when you're in different parts of the lifespan?
Different parts of the lifespan. I haven't experienced too much of the lifespan because I'm a very young lady, you know, so really? Young.
Are we doing that right now?
Yes. So I'm pretty limited in that because, you know, I'm a young Tinder-roni. So I'll try to answer that question to the best of my ability.
Okay, let me rephrase it.
Depends on if you're going to try to age me, but go ahead. Go for it.
Do you think your love language shifts depending on what stage of life you're in? So let's say 20s versus your 30s.
I don't think that they've necessarily changed as far as the order. I think that they've changed as far as how I prefer to have them.
Okay.
So, you know, back in our 20s, we had a whole bunch of time to sit around, chit-chat, and, you know, we didn't have responsibilities and this, and that. So I could do a lot of quality time.
Not chit-chat.
You know, not all that chit-chat, you know.
Chit-chat.
You know, and your friends' priorities change. You know, we went from no kids to multiple kids. Like, where did all these kids come from? You know, you went from, you know, single life to now having a husband. You know, whatever the case may be. So the quality time looks different. So I think that just appreciating the quality time more, because it's like, oh, I took time out of my busy schedule. Oh, I am a mother, and, well, not me, but like my friends are mother and they have children, uh-huh. You know, and they have taken a little spot for Bree. Like, oh yeah, Bree, I'm going to call you tonight at 8:00. I know I haven't talked to you. I know you've been trying to reach out to me, but like today I'm going to call you at 8:00. Like that to me, that's quality time. That looks different now.
Yeah.
And it means a lot to me because I know how much time it takes to play those other roles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you are prioritizing me, saying like, oh yeah, I do need to spend quality time with Brianna, like I need to pick up and see like what's going on, let's check in, to me still is a priority for me. It still is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily changing the order, but the way that it looks, I think that evolves.
Okay. All right. You did a good job. That was good.
Oh, okay. What about you?
I agree that 20s to 30s, definitely a change. Like, Miles was definitely like, quality time, which it still is. But now that I'm married, I think acts of service is also important, given that now we're sharing responsibilities. I appreciate the husband like cooking for me most days and like making sure, you know, I got a bath towel and like doing those little things that I would just normally do on my own, but he, you know, I appreciate those things. He doesn't have to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Level out some of that dependence with someone else. So,
mm-hmm. And I think that also, you know what? I think that also now in my 20s, going into my 30s, like I have accumulated more friends, different friends that have the similar lifestyle as me now in my 30s. And I think that they have shown up in a different love language. And like, you know, I'm not like big on like gifts, like because I am like, oh, I'm present. I'm here. Like, I feel like that's enough. But, you know, being around people who like actually give like birthday gifts and I'm like, okay, we're doing that. Like, we're not just going to go to dinner and drink and go home. Like, I have to actually think about a present. Like, I have to actually think like, okay, all right. Like, you know, it's a few people in this girl group, you know? So I'm thinking like, okay, like that's a few gifts. That's a few gifts when you think about it. Like when you add it up versus like my time, you know, that was kind of $3.99.
Not $3.99.
It was free. You know, some people like, oh, it's really expensive. It's really not that expensive, you know?
I'm dating.
Not according to my bank account. Like if I sit over here or if I sit over there, my bank account is still the same number. But if I give you a gift, then I give you a gift. Oh, now my bank account's looking a little different. However, it was nice to, and that's why I said, you know, your bottom two might be something to explore as you get older, because you don't exercise that love language. So then, of course, like when people don't give you gifts, or you don't receive gifts, and that's that at the bottom, you're like, okay, that's fine. Like, I ain't really receive no gifts. But then when you do actually date a person who's a gift giver, you're like, whoa. You know, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming, or it makes you then become more creative and more thoughtful in that way of like, oh, okay, like the gift doesn't have to be something expensive. It could just literally be like, I went to the Family Dollar to go get, you know, some soap. But I know that you like chips. Mm-hmm. So I want to go grab you some chips.
Hot fries.
You know what I'm saying? So I know that you like hot fries. So it's like, oh, I just grabbed some and I'm bringing them home. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I just ran out of hot fries. Like, I didn't even know that. I just was like, you know, it was 2 for $4. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. So, you know, just thinking of like, just those. So, you know, and also acts of service. I think that being in my most recent relationship, that was definitely something different for me. You know, somebody who was cooking for me, somebody who was doing for me, who was, you know, doing all those things. And I was just like,
this is weird.
Right. Like, it was just a weird feeling. And it was kind of like you had to, like, kind of check yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you can self-sabotage. Be like, oh, no. Like, oh, no, it's not that. No, you don't have to do that. No. Keep doing it. That's where my words of affirmation come from. Like, oh my God, you cooked this for me. This is so good. Like, this is amazing. So it's like, you know, of course people who cook, they love for people to hear about how great their cooking is. And guess what ends up happening? They cook more.
Yeah, they do.
So now I get to eat more. just by speaking the truth. It's not like the food is nasty. But all I had to do was just say, oh, yeah, this is good. Like, what you put in this? You know what I'm saying? Just do a little extra.
Free out.
Guess what? Tomorrow, I get another plate.
Oh, my God.
I could probably take some of lunch. You know what I'm saying? Put it in the to-go box. Like, yeah, I did this for you. You know, don't forget your lunch. You know what I'm saying? The next morning, don't forget your lunch. I almost forgot my lunch. I was stressed. Not this good steak you made last night.
Right.
Did you put the potatoes in there too? So, you know, those things. So that's why I was just like, oh, maybe I do need to like get better at. I need to get better at the things at the bottom. And I have mastered and I can maintain the things.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you experienced conflict because of a mismatch love language?
Of course, yeah. I mean, yeah. Thank God I'm with the person I'm with now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wait, you're
I mean, like, I mean, when I dated people, you could definitely tell, like, my love language, they had never experienced that before. So that was, like, too much for them, right? So mm-hmm. it came with the sabotage. It came with, you know, ghosting. It came with those things. But when I met the husband, we were very similar in a lot of those, you know, things like, you know, acts of service or, you know, like, I'll do you. Like, you did that? Oh, you ran me a whole bath when I got off of work. Like, oh, I got to outdo you. And so then it becomes
competition.
Now it becomes a competition, and we enjoy doing those things when we actually, you know, have time and all that. But I think definitely in the past, it definitely created some forms of conflict. For sure.
I think that for me, as far as the mismatch or conflict, I think that a person knowing your love language, and then when they are upset or are you're in a disagreement, I think that's where that person can flip the love language. So if you know that I like my love language, my number one love language is quality time, then you could potentially be like, oh, I'm mad, so I'm not going to talk to you. Like, I'm not going to spend time.
Not being spiteful.
Basically. I mean, you know, I feel like that's when it could become mismatch. You know, when somebody is not showing up the way they usually would show up because they are in a disagreement or they are, you know, you're in an argument or a disagreement, whatever. So,
or using your love language against you, huh?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people do. I feel like sometimes people use your love language, like they know that, like, oh yeah, like I know that you like spending time with me, so I'm mad at you, so I don't want to do that today.
My lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I guess I've never thought about it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Or like if somebody, you know, if you're same argument, you are a words of affirmation person. You make them dinner, you do these things for them to like try to engage them back into, you know, the relationship, and they're not giving you that. They're just like, they just start eating. Like before, you used to praise me for these things. You know, before you used to, you know, do these things. Or, you know, now that you're mad at me, you don't bring me my favorite flowers home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes people can use the love that they give or the love that you want to be shown against you. And again, you know, there's some situations where, like, you know, that may be present, but I think that every conversation or 90% of, you know, conflict shouldn't result to that, in my opinion. Like, I feel like you should utilize, pull those cards for big things, not for small disagreements.
You done dropped some dimes, some gems on me tonight with that one. My lord. Okay, I think I can have one last question. If you could give one piece of advice to someone trying to communicate their love language needs, what would it be?
I would first recommend them taking the quiz or test or whatever. And it's an easy, like, Google. There's plenty of free, like, love language quizzes online. Them taking it with the person that they're having the conflict with, and then, you know, sharing each other's results and just going into examples of, like, okay, this is accurate, and like, this is how I love to be shown in this particular area, and this is how I like for my love to be shown in it. Like, and just go by all five of them. I don't think that it should just stop at one and two. Like, I feel like you should go through all five. That's what I would recommend. And then hopefully there'll be some type of improvement from there.
Okay. That's good. That's good. That's a good recommendation.
What about you?
I wasn't prepared to answer the question.
You weren't prepared to answer a question that you asked me?
Of course not.
Okay. No problem.
I would also recommend the test, quiz, whatever. And I would recommend, especially if you are like getting to know somebody and you think it's going to like, you know, go a little bit further, maybe have incorporated into like a date night, you know, to like have like, you know, a date night at home. If you want to do wine or painting and do the test and talk about some of those questions and to really get to know each other. I think that's a good way to get to know your partner, especially if you are seeking to be married one day with them. I think that would be a good tool to use to help like get to know them better, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like I think that's a great way because it won't feel like you're interrogating them. It's just a fun way of like getting to know that person on a deeper level. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's very easy, like not too much pressure. Yeah.
Do you remember Dr. Perry giving us the relationship questionnaire, like application? You remember that? Yeah. And divorce mediation? I really wish I like could find it, like, and like give it out to people, like, because it was actually really good. Now maybe that might be a bit intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
The app, but I think it has some really good questions on there.
Oh, you mean like when you say handout, you mean like people who are dating and being like, hey, can you fill this out? Is that what you mean?
Like I'm saying, like if you with somebody that you're really serious with, not just randomly get an application out to somebody, like.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
So this is not first date.
No.
Second date. This is like maybe sixth date.
I would say maybe even let's get to 12.
Okay. Maybe. Are we not married by then?
The 12th date?
Yeah, I feel like we should be married by the 3rd.
What? Don't.
Are you not in love with me by now? Like,
I mean, we was pretty much in love by the 3rd date. I mean,
exactly.
I just
like that. Funny.
But I think the husband was a different type of man, though. He was somebody I had never engaged with before. Like,
I need somebody sure. That's like, what you get. That's what you end up
like that. You only been on 3 dates with me. I'm confused.
He was sure.
I mean, clearly, I'm still here. So, right. Yeah. You said not nah, by 3, you want to be married. By 12.
By 12, I'm pregnant. Well, I'm in my mid 30s. Like,
we ain't got time.
I only have 30 minutes. Talking about,
Brie, you a whole fool.
I'm just saying, like, okay, my favorite color is blue. Yeah. Yeah, on walks on the beach.
I like all that.
Yeah. I like to drink wine. Yeah, I love dogs. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Move on. Do you want to marry me or no?
Oh my god.
Anyway, I don't even know how we got on that.
Okay, sorry. Okay. All right. You want to wrap it up? Let's wrap it up.
So, as always, please subscribe. Please, please follow us on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We now have merch.
Yes, we do.
Yes. We have merch. It is on all those same platforms. And we have a deal going on with 15% off until December 4th.
Yes.
So get your merch for your family, your friends. Christmas is coming up. It's very nice merch, very cute. We have some cute luggage. We have, you know, cups. We have sweatshirts, fanny packs. We have so many things. And we have pretty good shipping. I think it takes about,
3 to 4 business days.
Yeah. So not too bad. So yeah, check it out. Let me know what y'all think. Take a picture. We would love to share it on our social media.
Take a picture.
And, you know, also, you know, share your love language with your family and friends. We would love to hear about it. Love to hear the feedback on what your love language and what your partner love language is and, you know, how you all show up in your love language.
Uh-huh.
Comment, subscribe. all those good things.
Yes. Till next time. Bye.
Bye.